This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Scott!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo, I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 11 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. Alan Han, Han Solo today. Bart Scott taking the day off. He's raking leaves.
Han.
I texted him. I was like, what are you doing today? Why are you taking the day off? He got to rake some leaves. So, all right. It might be code. I don't know. But raking leaves is what we all do, right, fellas? That's what we got to do. And after all that
phrasing.
Rain, yeah, you know, whatever it is, use it the way you'd like. But still, after all that rain, the weather, everything like that, that we had to deal with in the last couple of days over the weekend, the wind, everything, I imagine all of our yards look like crap right now. So take care of business today. Bart will be here for you and we'll handle it. So here's what we're going to do. The buffet is open. 800-919-3776 is the number for you to call. Fill up them lines now. There's already four filled. There's only two left. Who's going to get them? The race is on. And if you can't get through and you get that busy signal, you know how that goes. And you just get us on social media, at Bart and Hunt on Twitter, Instagram. And Bill, where else can they get it?
Snapface, Instant Chat, or whatever it is.
All those great places. As I've been tend to say, I have this affliction as I'm reaching middle age that I tend to say things where I'm like, you know that commercial where it's like you turn into your parents? Like, I'm starting to do that now. Where I'll say the Twitter. And I'm like, what the hell? Why would I say the Twitter? But I do that. That happens. So if I do that, call me on it. That's why we're family. That's what we do. Equal parts love and accountability. That's what you're allowed to do as listeners of this show. And another thing you got to do right now, Anthony right now, he's kind of desert thirsty. He put out, it's like a subtle tweet, but you know what this is about, right? When on the main Bart and Han Twitter handle, Anthony runs it. Just in case anybody doesn't know, he runs it.
Oh, well, so secret's out there.
Yeah, secret's out. He does. This is him. As if you needed to know. It ain't me, and it ain't Bart. So it's Anthony. And so on it, he says, 4,700 followers. And so he's saying, can we get to 5,000 by the new year? And I'm like, by the new year? How about by the end of the show? Let's get some retweets. Let's get some follows. And let's make this happen. If we can get to, like, it's, I mean, we're 300. You can't, there's well more than 300 people listening right now. And you don't have to, like, if you're not, well, I'm not really much on Twitter. Just follow it and then just turn it off. I don't care. It's like when you tell me I didn't get a chance to listen today because I had something going on. I said, well, could you have turned the radio on and walked out of the room? Yeah. Well, why didn't you do that? Could you go to the app and put it on your app? No, I didn't know I could do it. Yeah, do that. So let's take care of each other. Let's do all that stuff. Let's have some fun and successful finish to 2020 so we can say goodbye to this godforsaken year and welcome in, whether it's with a vaccine waiting for us in hand, put it in my veins. Like I need basketball, which opens today. That's what we've got to be about. Trending up, like the Giants and their opportunities after last night. By the way, shout out to Doug Peterson for the back door. Appreciate that. Going for two. I still trying to figure that one out. That's a 6.5-point spread. I mean, what's the difference? Go for two, kick the extra point. Whatever. What's the difference? Don't try to explain it to me. Don't tell me some analytic that, yo, well, you always want to cut it to six. What do you mean you want to cut it to six? Who cares? You had 12 seconds left in an onside kick. What's the difference? So it's just one of those nods to those Eagles fans. That, okay, you're taking an L, but if you bet on your team because you love your team, you're welcome. That's what that's all about. But they're a mess. They're a hot mess. And so let me update for you now the dumpster fire that is the NFC East. And I mentioned this yesterday, and it's actually been updated since. So the Geek Squad has told us, yesterday I originally told you that if the Eagles lost, the Giants, according to FPI, the Giants would have the highest percentage of probability of winning the division out of all the divisional opponents. They would be at 40%. That's what FPI told us yesterday going into the game. That changed somehow this morning, and I'm sure it has to do with strength of schedule or whatever. Now, the Giants still have the highest probability, according to FPI, Football Power Index, at 36.8%. So it's just below 40, but still. The problem is, you could look at it that way, and then, all right, so I'll give you it that way, and then I'll give you the other side of the coin. 36.8% for the Giants to win the division. Washington right behind them at 29.8. Remember, the Giants now hold the tiebreaker because they beat Washington twice. Philly at 28.3%, still hanging on. A lot more to get to on them, by the way. Talk about the cautionary tale, the example of how not to do it. And then Dallas at a mere 5%, Rain Man. 5%! And don't start hate-watching your team like, I don't care. You do care. Don't say, I don't care what happens. I hate this team. No, you don't. You love them. You want to see it happen. You want Andy Dalton to do something glorious. Now here, let's flip it. Because when it comes to reality, you could have the Football Power Index telling you that, Giants fan. You're like, see, we got the best. We got the best chance to win this division and make the playoffs. Hang a banner. Couldn't you see this? I don't know if they hang. Did they hang the banner? Whatever it is. Imagine, like, it's 2035, and now you're, like, in your 50s or 60s, and you've got your son with you, or maybe your grandson, and you're at a game at, is it MetLife or is it some other building at this point? And there's a banner, and it says, 2020 NFC East Division Champs. And your son's like, hey, Dad, how come no one ever talks about that season? We don't talk about 2020, son. But they won a division. Yeah, technically, they won the division. That's a banner, like you hang that banner like off to the side, sort of faces the other way. You know, it's there, but it's not something you really want to like accentuate. No one wants to talk too much about that season, but a banner's a banner. But if we flip it, the story is a different story. Because to me, the most important thing is what's ahead. There's different ways you can argue this. You could argue it and say, hang on a second. The Giants have the best chance to win the division, according to all the stats. However, what I don't like is the reality of the schedule that awaits them. We talked about it yesterday. So I think the strength of schedule is what matters the most. And as we know, the next 4 weeks for the Giants are difficult. At Seattle, which we saw last night, they have their own issues, no doubt. Their defense is getting better, but man, they could still get got. Jamal Adams is a guy, he's all over the field and sometimes for all the wrong reasons. It's amazing how he's always around something, either good or bad. Like that Hail Mary touchdown at the end, who's the guy staring at the... I mean, it was a ridiculous catch by Rodgers, I understand that. But who's the dude just sitting there? It's Jamal Adams just looking at him, dumbfounded, like, oh, damn. Hey, Jamal, knock the ball down. But still, he also has made a couple of big... a big sack, a couple of big hits. So he had moments... But still, it's just funny. But that's a defense. That Seahawks defense is obviously not the same. They can still get got. They can get after the quarterback, though, especially if you have a bad offensive line, as the Eagles do. So you have Seattle. You've got Arizona, beatable. They're struggling lately. You got Cleveland playing very well, tough running game, and then at Baltimore. And we don't know what the Ravens are going to be. We don't even know if they're going to play. We don't know anything about where the Ravens are at this point. That's your next four. So they have the toughest of all of the remaining schedules based on strength of schedule. 5-7-4 winning percentage is what they face. Now, last game of the season is Dallas. That game could actually have big-time meaning. Bigly. It could be huge. And then you flip it, and on the other side of it, Dallas, who is at 5% according to FPI, has the easiest strength of schedule remaining at 3-8-9. Easiest. Again, relative, of course. It's about schedule. Their toughest opponent is considered to be the Ravens. And once again, we don't know what Baltimore is right now. They're going through COVID. They have other issues, not just related to COVID, but also the fact that they have injuries that are key, especially in the offensive line. We don't what's going on with Lamar Jackson at offense. It's not the same. So I don't know how tough they're going to be for anybody right now. But just think about what they have left on their schedule. A Bengals team without Joe Burrow, who gave the Giants a tough time. But still, no Joe Burrow. No Joe Burrow. They have an Eagles team that is a hot mess. The Giants, so the Giants are considered an easy opponent, but yet Dallas is also considered an easy opponent to the Giants. And then that's the last game of the season. And then the 49ers, who I don't know how easy they are. Because they look like they're going to be playing for something. But that's all according to strength of schedule. So it's amazing how it depends on how you want to look at it. That's what you're seeing. Is the reality of getting a top 10 pick or winning a division. And I know some people didn't like that. I brought that up last week. We know what era we're in right now among fans. We know what everybody thinks about. What is the best thing for your team right now where they're going? Winning always matters, Alan. I know. I'm the guy that says that, and then you all yell at me. Yeah, but what happened? You missed Steph Curry by one draft pick because you won some meaningless game in April. Okay, I understand. So now how do you look at it? Winning the division or getting a top 10 pick? Because that's essentially what literally one win could change. If you're the Giants, you got to get to 6. You got 4 right now. So the two wins that you look at and say, you got to get those two, one has to be Dallas. I mean, that's one has to be that Dallas game. So you're telling me you've got to get one out of Seattle, Arizona, Cleveland, or Baltimore. Can you get one? My pick would be Arizona. That's the game I think you'd have to get. That's the game I think you could get, and that can get you to 6. But once again, you get to that, you win the division, great. But then what? Does it set you up for the future? Does it matter? 6-10 with a division record, with a division win versus another top 10 pick building towards your future. One way or another, I guess it's a good thing. But I'll tell you what, a division win, regardless of the record, especially with some of these young guys playing the way they're playing for the Giants. If you're Dave Gettleman, don't you walk into the owner's office and say, there's no way in hell you're firing me now. Look what I did. And look at the coach I got. 800-919-3776 is the number. Let's grab some calls. Let's go with Doc in Hewlett. Doc, what's happening?
How you doing today? Been around this game 52 years, 12 as a coach. And if the Redskins, not the Redskins, the football Washington yep. team and the Giants come down in a tie at 6 games, you know, you can look at the Washington team and you can say to yourself, okay, the overtime debacle where they went for 2, that's kind of okay.
Rivera felt like Rivera gave that game away when he went for 2, right?
Right. But then how do you go into Detroit, get down 24-3, kick a field goal with 16 seconds to go in the game, and give up a field goal at the end of the game like that? So, you know, they've had some huge blunders, and yes. they can look right in the mirror and look at that. The second thing is the Jets. You know, people are talking about who's calling the plays and the coach not telling the truth. And I looked at the formations again on video. I believe he was tipping his hand on the play calls in the 4th-and-1 situations. I actually believe he was tanking the game. I think they want to solidify the number one pick, and God forbid they should win a game. That's observation number 2. And the last observation, everybody keeps calling in about Patrick Mahomes being the greatest player, and he may be the greatest modern-day player ever. I'd like to drop him off in the 1960s or 70s when Jimmy Brown and a lot of other guys, Bradshaw, Staubach, and a lot of other guys played this game mm-hmm. and took the physical, violent hits that they took. They protect the quarterbacks today. They protect the receivers.
You sure?
It's a different game, Alan.
Oh, you're talking about the late hits. Yeah, the late hit. I'll give you the late hit then.
The lethal hits.
Yeah, no. We saw it happen last night, didn't we? Like, we saw it happen,
yes, we did.
You know, a couple of times with some of the hits that were unintentional. You know, you basically make any contact with the quarterback's head, even unintentional.
Look at
you're going to get
with
called for
on Sunday night with
yes.
Mahomes,
and that game again, and that one on Mahomes. Head. Look, but you have to know, like, that's you know that today though, you know that that's illegal.
But on the same play, the offensive tackle grabbed JPP by the face mask. And nobody on TV even saw it or said a word. The game is geared towards offense, and that's okay.
Yeah, that's sports today. Look at all the sports, though. Doc, all sports are that way. All sports are about because they're trying to make it more watchable. Because as much as if you're a diehard, Yeah, but listen to me. If you're a diehard about your sport, no matter what sport it is, if you love hockey, you loved watching the left wing lock. When it was done right, you loved it because it was
right.
It was so technical. It was five players all working in unison, and it would dominate your opponent. If you love basketball, you love great defense that just locks other teams down and leads to bad shots and late shots in the shot clock. If you love football, you love the same thing. You love a hard hit. You love the battle at the line of scrimmage. You love the physicality part of it.
That's
you
right.
Don't want to see them throw it down the field, which literally what Russell Wilson does is a lot of time, and I think Mahomes does this too, is they throw it in the air and leave it up to the receiver to get the flag. Most of the time, those throws are just to get a flag.
Well, how about when Jimmy Brown runs for 100 yards a game and everybody knows he's going to run, and the guy averages over 100 yards a game, and you got a league today where if a guy gets 100
one of the greatest
yards,
of all
it's a
time.
Big deal.
I know, but also, you're talking about one of the greatest of all time. Jim Brown was one of the greatest
of
all time.
Not one of the greatest, the greatest.
Okay, the greatest. In your opinion, the greatest. But the point is also, in that time of the sport, no one was built like him. Now there's a lot more people built like him, Doc. You know, look, I'll do the back in my day thing all day. Doc's not wrong, but we can go back and forth on that because that's to me part of the problem. The games are different today, so you can't look at them through the same prism. We do this thing with Jordan and LeBron all the time. If Jordan played today, he'd average 50 because of the rules. If LeBron played in the 90s, LeBron, you would saw nothing like him. Nothing. People think LeBron wouldn't be able to play in the 90s. I'm telling you, you're wrong. He was physically built to play in the 90s. Absolutely. He did things that no one... He does things in today's game that no one did then at his size. No one. Don't even try to bring up anybody because I'm talking about all the things that he brings. The physicality, the athleticism, the IQ, the vision. He's a decent enough shooter. Obviously not a great shooter, but in the 90s, nobody was a great shooter. It was a handful of guys. But you take that, everything that he is, and he's being 6'8", saw nothing like that. Nothing. Don't give me Grant Hill. Grant Hill was not as physically strong. In fact, Grant Hill broke down. LeBron never breaks down, ever. So that we can play that game all the time. Now, I don't know what the other stuff was about, but still. Ray in Babylon. Go ahead, Ray.
Hi, Jimmy Brown. I never heard Jim Brown referred to as Jimmy Brown.
Oh, when you're friends, you call him Jimmy. His friends call him Jimmy.
Yeah. He's my buddy. He's Jimmy. Listen, I'm wondering, what do you guys think about Adam Gase after the NFL? He's never going to get another job in the NFL. Do you think he could coach a high school team? What's next for this man?
I it's a good question. I wonder if a team would even bring him in as an OC. Like, what else would he do? Would you bring him as a quarterback's coach? Like, all you have to do is look at Ryan Tannehill. Just look at Ryan Tannehill. This is becoming more and more that Peyton Manning ran the show in Denver, and he was along for the ride. And Peyton Manning basically was the guy that he was his reference, and that convinced the Jets to make the hire. I don't even understand it. When you really think about it, Matt Rhule was the obvious way to go. Obvious way to go. But it's easy to do that in hindsight. We didn't know this. All we knew was that everywhere he coached in college, people loved him. And he organized programs and turned them around. And so it seemed like, okay, can he do it at the NFL level? Look at Carolina now. I know they're not just, you know, they're not putting up W's all over the place, but they're very competitive. They've gone through injuries. They look like a team trending in the right direction. I mean, that leads me to the question. You look at the Giants, and the one thing you can say about the Giants at the end of the season, you needed to know if you had a quarterback, right, in Daniel Jones. And I think the last couple of weeks, you're starting to really believe that you do. But you also needed to know that you made the right hire at coach. You know, Mike McCarthy was also on that list. So is Matt Rhule. But Mike McCarthy was on that list. Ron Rivera should have been on that list, and he never took the time. He went right to Washington. That's fine. But you had that choice. Now, how's McCarthy looking right now in Dallas, and how does Joe Judge? The guy that's never coached. He's never coached as a head coach ever, not even at the high school level. That's unbelievable. Unbelievable. And look at him, leader of men, good front man. You could just tell, like, you know, he's got a good feel for it. He's got a sense for it. I'm really impressed with him. It's hard not to be. In control, really good with the media, you know, straight talker. None of the BS. Like, again, another thing with Adam is that he's his own worst enemy. He tries to be smarter than you. You know, that's always a thing. I've said this to many coaches that have come through, obviously through the Knicks. And when I meet them, I always tell them the same thing. Hey, listen, be genuine. You're never going to, don't try to outsmart people. Don't try to pull any games. You know, I know you were in this market and that market. This is different, this place. You know, you got it. If you're genuine and you're honest, then you have nothing to worry about. But if you try to play games and you try to put up a front, you try to be something you're not, I'm telling you, ain't no future in your front. Not here. If you're a head coach here, you've got to be straight talker. You keep it simple and you keep it short. These people are not your friends. They'll pretend to be, but they're not your friends. So you can't treat them like that, but you also can't treat them like your enemy either. Use them for what they are, because they're going to do that with you. That's how it works. And I think Joe Judge knows that right away. And maybe he had some coaching. Maybe Belichick helped him out with that. Maybe his Pennsylvania background helped him out with that too. Whatever it is, doesn't matter. Giants are going to end the season with two things. Belief in their quarterback and belief that they got a right coach. And that's now what the Jets have to figure out. I'm telling you right now, on the Jets side of thing, it is the most important hire, the most important move that they will make in 20-something, almost 30 years. Seriously, it's three decades. This is the most critical move for many reasons, everybody. Many reasons. We can outline them. 800-919. So, all right, so I'll tell you what. So what kind of coach? If you're looking at Joe Judge, look around the league. Look at Matt Rhule. Look at some of the new hires. Then look at the retread hires. Look at the Ron Riveras. Look at the Mike McCarthy's. Look at all the teams that are going to be looking for coaches too. Detroit, Atlanta. Look at the teams looking for coaches next. Look at your situation and look at the coaches that are new this year. What kind of coach do the Jets need to hire? Because it's not just about coaching the guys they have on this roster. It's going to be more than that. It's about Trevor Lawrence. It's going to be. All right? It's going to be. It's about Sam. It's about Quinnen Williams. It's about all of that. So we're talking Jets and Giants right now. Giants, just because of the Eagles' loss last night, I don't know. I don't see it as Carson Wentz being the major problem for that team. It doesn't matter anyway. You still have 2 years left before you can make any decisions on him. You're married to him. Get the most out of him. I think he's got happy feet. I think he's got issues. Got offensive line. Those tackles are bad. I mean, they're both bad. And they've got a lot of issues right now with putting pressure on him. And he's now at that point where you see quarterbacks get like this, where they're just so uncertain, so uncomfortable, that he's throwing, like that one ball he threw, that he underthrew, he got drilled in the sternum as he threw it. You know, that's one where you're thinking, you say, well, you should throw it a little further. He's already flinching as he's throwing that football. Now, he's got to fix it. That's true, but he's not comfortable. Howie Roseman has not done a good job rebuilding that team after the Super Bowl. And I got to point this out, too. If everybody wants Jalen Hurts to start now, did you see what Jalen Hurts did when he came in the game? I thought he was going to throw up like Steeman Willie Beeman. I mean, he went in the huddle. Did you see the look in his eyes? I was waiting for him to just, like, you know, he throws up. Now he's going to be fine. Like, that's what you did. That's what you did. So you went into the season. You were believing in Carson Wentz, but there was still that little bit of wonder because he does get hurt a lot. And you just aren't quite sure, is he, you know, like, we got to make sure that if he's not right, we got to have something stable behind him. Josh McCown, that's your guy? That's your stable behind him? That doesn't make sense. You used a draft pick to get a rookie quarterback when you've got a guy on a massive contract that you can't move for 2 years. And you're going to tell me that if Wentz had any issues, that you know what's going to happen. It's Philly. They're going to be screaming for the backup, who plays a completely different kind of game. I just don't understand why people are acting that way towards Philly. But that's right now an NFC East issue. That's a Giants issue. And we're going to turn our attention now to the Jets. Our Jets guest of the week, Quinnen Williams, who's had a fantastic season this year. And Q, first and foremost, thanks for joining the show. And I got to tell you, in a season like this, where obviously the team's success is one that we all know, the record is what it is, for you personally now, personally, has this been a season for you where you say to yourself, this is what I knew I could be at this level?
Definitely, man. Just coming in out the offseason, learning from my mistakes that I did last year, learning from things I did wrong last year, and just get my body right, get my mind right, and the different things that I did this offseason with my trainer and different things like that. I felt like I was going to have a good season this year because I got a grasp on everything and just focus on just communicating with my coaches, executing, and just going out there trying to play every snap hard as I can and make plays to put us in the best predicament to win games and just have a successful team and things like that. So.
I love that you said that the way you said it, too, all the things you learned from your first year. Because, as you know, a lot of times fans will watch, and you got a guy that's drafted as high as you were drafted, and you dominated college, you were great at Alabama, and it's like, oh, he's just going to step in, he's going to own the NFL. It sounds easy, but your first experience at the NFL level, when you're going up against other grown men now, like, what was one of the first things that you realized when you got to the NFL and you were playing in games, and you said to yourself, damn, I've got to get better at this? Was there one thing that you knew, I can't wait to get to the offseason, because I've got to get better at this?
I think the one thing I really, like, just said out was, like, everybody in the NFL does this, and nobody in college think about this, was nutrition. Huh. That was one of the main things I really, like, had to change, because I was playing due to cap and nose in college. Basically, I could eat anything I want to eat, but in the NFL level, man, everybody's a dog. Everybody's nutrition and put the best things in their body so they can perform every week. And that's one of the huge things I learned from going from my college to the NFL, learning from my first year to second year, was what I put in my body is what's going to control my body, just like a jet with jet fuel. Like, you can't put regular car gas for a jet or regular gas to make a jet go up into the sky and things like that.
Yeah, don't put 87 in a Ferrari.
Yeah. So I just thought about that and was like, I need to really focus on this right here, and this really going to help me. So that's one of the big things I learned from my rookie year to my sophomore year.
All right, so my college basketball days, which is long, long time ago, the thing I had, my hang-up, my vice was Chicken McNuggets. Like, I would crush like a 20 piece before practice sometimes. Like, that was the thing I couldn't give up. Is there something that you had that you loved and you're like, I can't eat this, especially not during the regular season? Is there something you had to give up that you know right now, the minute you get to January, it's the first thing you're going to eat?
Probably like a meat lover's pizza. Like, I'm a real pizza guy. meat lover's pizza is my thing. Like, that's my thing. But I haven't ate it this whole season. So, like, first time off season come around, I know I got to give me a meat lover's pizza.
Like a deep dish? Like one of those types, right? Like the Chicago style where it's just the sausage and meatball just loaded.
Everything. Yeah.
Exactly. What about, though, technically in the game? What is happening for you this year? Is it strictly just that you feel physically better, or are there some things also that is helping you? I mean, you have 6 sacks this year. You had a terrific game against the Dolphins. You were all over the place. You're really jumping off the page. You're analytically, you're one of the top defensive linemen in the game. Is there something that you also figured out that has now all of a sudden flipped the switch for you on the field?
I just think the main thing is, like, just the speed of the game and just executing, honestly. Like, last year, I was thinking a lot, and I really kicked myself in the butt this offseason as I watched film on myself on the different things I was thinking about during the play going on. So this year, I really talked to my Greg Wills, Blake Wills, and Andre Carter, my coaches, 2D line coaches in D.C., and just got with them and just asked them, like, personally, like, man, I know I suck my first year. Like, it wasn't up to my standard. It was up to you guys' standard. Like, what can I do to get better? What do you see I need to get better? And they told me the God of the truth, 100% truth. And I took those things, put in my notebook, and went this offseason and focused on those things that they told me I need to work on. And just the different things I knew I could do myself to unwind and to go out there and play like myself. So that was one of the big things that I got this offseason with my coaches and learning, like, the different things that I can do better, the things I did good and get better in, the things I did bad, to never do those things again. So
we're talking about Quinnen Williams of the Jets. He's having a great season despite the fact that the team is having the record that they're having without a win so far in this season. Now, Q, you're a guy that I imagine now, you can't look at this season. You can't look at the record. You can't think about this stuff and where it is. You've got to obviously think about the future. When you see some of the younger guys on this team now, some of those picks, not only from your year, but this year's draft as well, you know, those guys, Becton, obviously one of them that stands out. Mims has looked really good. Do you think about, you know what, this isn't going to last? Like, things are going to change here. Do you feel that way about this group?
Yeah, for sure, man. Like, I just feel like this group we got right now is an amazing group. Everybody we got on our team right now is an amazing team, and I'm just blessed to be a part of this team. Like, despite the record, every day, those guys, every guy on the team come out and work their butts off. Every guy on the team wants to win and wants to put all four forever to win. And a lot of young guys, like we got on defense, we got a lot of young guys who I can see becoming top players in their positions. Just name a few guys, Bryce Hall, Ashton
Davis.
Like just different guys like that, man. Lamar Jackson, the cornerback, like guys like that who've been stepping up and getting better week after week. Makai, obviously, Makai. Huge guy, battle against him every practice. And just a lot of young guys on our team, man, who you see step up every week and get better every week. And just like, I just tell those guys, like, man, my rookie year, man, I didn't get everything off the bat. I had to use the offseason to learn from my mistakes. You know what I'm saying? So Don't get down on you guys. Don't get down on yourself, things like that. And I just talked to them because I was just a rookie last year. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I learned from my mistakes just like those guys learn from their mistakes every week. And they're doing great. In my eyes, they're doing great with taking the coaching from Coach Greg and different things like that. So,
talk about Becton for me. Like you said, you go up against him in practice. It's interesting probably for you to deal with a guy that size. How much do you, though, as long as you compete with him, but do you, I don't know if taken under your wing is the kind of way you want to phrase it, but do you take him aside and say, listen, man, you've got a lot of potential, just like you probably got that from McClendon and others in the past. Do you talk to him about all the things that you've learned and what he can be going forward?
Definitely, man. I definitely talk to him. Well, not really what he can be when he goes forward, because I feel like he got a great grasp on what he can be. I think he knows his own identity. He asked me a lot of questions because I feel like we have great battles at practice and different things like that. So he asked me a lot, loads of questions, just different things that I do on the football field that he see me do good. That he'd be like, man, Q, how you do that? Like, what made you do that? Or what made you do this? And I asked him the same way. Like, I don't feel like no tackle in the NFL is going to give me a down block like him coming down on me. So me playing that down block or a double team with Makai, it's getting me better every week because I'm not going to go against another 370-80-pound tackle who's coming down as hard as he's coming down or who's strong as he's strong, the strength he has. So we definitely feed off each other and just ask each other questions like, man, he went against Joey Bosa. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, man, Joey Bosa's a great player. On this play right here, what you look for in Joey? You know what I'm saying? Like different things like that. And he tell me what he looked for and things that he see and the things that how he'd be able to beat these top pass rushers because I want to become a top pass rusher one day. So I just have to we feed off each other in that way.
Iron sharpens iron, right, as they say. Yeah. I know when the offense is out on the field, a lot of times you guys need to get on the bench and, you know, catch your breath and maybe even go over stuff, whatever's going to happen that next time out. But do you ever catch yourself watching him? And if you ever see him, some of the stuff, I mean, you watch film on him, it's hysterical. Like, there's some dudes, he's just tossing dudes at times. Like, do you ever, like, celebrate that? Do you get into that when you see him doing that?
All the time. Like, I can picture one play. I think he threw Frank Clark. And Frank Clark is an amazing player. Like, I look at Frank Clark's film and everything, and I think he just threw him. And I'm like, bro, I'm glad he on my team. Like, I'm glad I don't have to really go against a double team. Like, you know what I'm saying? From him, well, I'm glad I ain't got to go down block from him. Like, I'm glad he on my team. To see him do stuff like that. It's just different stuff, man. Like, we played Buffalo one week, and he just, like, destroyed the whole left side. And I just be thinking in my head, like, dang, like,
Yep. He's just a rookie.
Just to see, man, like, I just see a lot of stuff, man, that from him, man. I know he's going to be a top tackle in the NFL years to come, and probably this year, but years to come, definitely, man, one of the best players I've seen coming out of college in general.
Q, you want to be a Jet for a long time? Like, do you feel like this is home? I want to stay here. I'll be part of this.
Definitely. I definitely feel that way.
Do you wonder, like, about early in the season? I saw, you know, there was a report about trade rumors involving you, and obviously teams are going to call, but did you ever put anything into that, or did they talk to you? Did Joe come to you, or did anybody tell you, like, listen, no, teams are calling about you, but we're not shopping you around?
Oh, definitely, man. Me and Joe and my agent had a great conversation and different things like that on their standpoints and my standpoints and just different things like that we fed off each other, man. And I feel very comfortable and very, very excited about being a Jet and still being a Jet. Despite the season that we're having right now, I feel like years to come and next year we got the great pieces to put together to make this team a dominant team that I feel like Joe knows it can be and that we all know it can be.
Well, guys like you certainly are going to be the cornerstones of whatever they do building going forward. Before I let you go, though, Q, I got to ask you a college question because I got to ask you about Alabama. Now, the Iron Bowl, and Bama had no problem with Auburn. I'm sure you enjoyed that if you had a chance to watch it. But did you think to you that you have, like the idea of Nick Saban having to be in his house watching the game on TV, I was thinking to myself, I've been an Alabama fan a long time. Like somehow, some way, he's coaching. Whether it's mental telepathy or he's texting, so like there's got to be a way he's coached from there because it must have drove him crazy.
Like I just think about it this way: like I was telling people, they was like, "Bro, how Coach Saban can still have a disciplined team, a winning team? It's the process, honestly. Like Coach Saban is still the standard in the process and every individual who goes on that field. So once you know that and feel that, like it's no matter. Like Coach Saban doesn't have to be there. Just like now, like." I feel like every NFL player that came from Bama still play with that same mentality that the process, like the standard, the process. And like just because they got a whole different coach statement on coaching, we still play as like the Bama standard. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually do, which I guess leads me to another question. How important is that to you? Like you, like some guys don't like that kind of coaching. They don't want the discipline. They don't want a coach that's tough on them. But you, I guess, maybe had that other experience of, you know what, though? Look what it does. You kind of get programmed to play a certain way, and it stays with you forever. Do you find value in that kind of coaching, that kind of, like, establish this culture? We all know this is the way we're supposed to play, and the coach doesn't even need to be there anymore for practice because everybody already knows that's the way to do it.
I definitely feel like that's the best way to build any organization, man. Any business, anything like that, about a standard, a culture, and just a process, man. Without a process, without a standard, man, you have nothing, man. You have no culture. So if you can get that, if you got a leader who sets that level and that thing, the process like that, and the winning organization, you got Belichick, who got it, Andy Reid, who got it, Coach Saban, Dabo Sweeney, all these great coaches got a standard in the process, and you see why those coaches are so successful and what they do. So I believe that if you got a process and you're hard coaching and things like that, if you know how to take it, you're going to have a great winning person in you. So I definitely believe that. Like Greg Williams, like everybody, Greg got the notorious thing about how hard he coaches, man. I love it. Like, I just feel like every time we go on the field, like, I'm going to go fight for Greg because Greg knows. Like, he's going to put me in the best predicament to win this game. So
I'll tell you what, Q, though, you just keep trending up, man. It's fun. You know, the Jets are tough to watch as a group overall, but you're fun to watch right now, and a lot of people love seeing how much better you're getting, even just game after game, not just year to year. So keep it going. Stay healthy. Thanks so much for the time. All the best.
Thank you.
All right, so with the Eagle loss last night, what a weird game that was, and the backdoor ending, of course, for anybody that had money on the Eagles. You're pretty happy about that, but still, so they lose. The Giants now considered, at least by FPI, the favorites to win the division. But when you look at strength of schedule and you look at everything else, you know, who else? I'll just say this. The Washington Redskins would be the coolest story because of Alex Smith, because of what Rivera's been through this year. They removed the Redskins name. Like, if you know, the good fortune thing, if you think about what the best story would be, it'd probably be Washington. You know, Dallas is really just a mess. You know, the Dak injury and everything else. I mean, for Dallas, who just get a high draft pick, get Dak healthy, and go from there. You know, I mean, yeah, sure, it'd be a great story for the Giants, too. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, like, when we're talking about, when we're comparing stories, you know, that's where it's at. So now the Steelers-Ravens game. See, this week is not over yet. You know, we still haven't jumped into Week 13 yet, mainly because there's one more game still to be played. It was supposed to be tonight. Steelers-Ravens postponed again. That game was supposed to be Thursday, Thanksgiving night, remember? It's almost a week later they're going to do this now. They're going to play tomorrow afternoon. Wednesday afternoon football, 3:40. Now you say, well, why the hell are they playing a game at 3:40? Well, here's why. We got a tree. We've got a light here in New York City. All right, everybody in the country. So sorry, Pittsburgh. Sorry, Baltimore. We got a tree to light. And when we're lighting a damn tree, everybody's watching. Come sit and watch us light the tree. That's really what's happening here. NBC's got the tree, and that's supposed to be at the 8, you know, usually they do the big production, 8 o'clock, and on NBC. And so NBC basically said, according to Adam Schefter, that they want to keep the tree lit at the time. They're going to light the tree when we're going to light the tree, damn it, when we want to light the damn tree. It's NBC's like being the dad, essentially being the dad. You're going to be here, and we're going to light the damn tree like we do every year. And so the problem is because you just don't know. What if they postpone that game again, and now they move the tree lighting to 4 o'clock, you know, so they can have this football game later? So instead, they're going to stick with the program, and you're going to play your silly football game at 3 o'clock. That's basically it. So it's crazy. It keeps being postponed. And now they've got, of course, now it moves other things. So now the Steelers in Week 13, they're supposed to play Washington, and that game is now moved to Monday. The Ravens, who are supposed to play Dallas, again, Giants fans, these games matter to you. That game's now being moved to Tuesday. So we'll effectively this season, once that gets all done, this season there will be an NFL game played every day of the week. Every day of the week. That's amazing. Meanwhile, quickly, a couple other things just to touch on. Two Texans players, what's going on in Houston, suspended 6 games for violating the PED policy. Will Fuller, that's the biggest name of all, 6 games, he's out. And Bradley Roby as well, corner. Two dudes. Questions. On the NBA side of things, well, Jay will join us in the noon hour, and we'll discuss. I guess we'll go a lot of NBA with him. But Kemba Walker, for those who are big NBA fans, he's going to miss some time with the Celtics. You know, that knee has been bothering him for a while. He's had some issues there. And, in fact, he received a stem cell injection in the knee. It's going to keep him out until at least the first week of January. So he's going to miss all of the preseason and the first couple of weeks of the season. And they want to make sure that he's all right. But that knee, obviously, has been something that has bothered him for a while. And, you know, he's had a long career, and he physically takes a beating as a smaller player. So we'll see how things work out for him. All right, 800-919-3776. Grab a quick call here. Max in Stanford. Go ahead, Max. Hey, Max.
Hey, Alan.
What's going on?
Great talking to you.
Likewise.
So you brought up that Eagles game. I know no one likes to hear about other people's bets, but oh my God, I was down in one of the biggest holes ever. Just decided let's just do a massive parlay on 2 games. I did the Bucks and the Eagles, both won by half a point, and wow. I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to get rid of these endorphins that are just rushing through my brain.
That's better than sex, baby. Like that is just amazing. Are you out of the hole? Like, did that get you out? Are you good out now?
I was down a grand, and I was like, you know what? Like, I'm just gonna do like a $350 parlay and just hope for the best.
Oh, you were sweating that out too, because fourth quarter that wasn't looking good.
I honestly think I think I have like 20 gray hairs that I did not have yesterday.
I love the him going for two, man. That is a gift. That's a gift from the heavens. That is
a
gift.
And I also have Miles Sanders to win me my fantasy league as a result. Fantasy matchup as a result of that 2-point conversion. Like I was just like, there were too many things going well last night. Like I'm like, I woke up a little worried today.
Yeah, be careful. That's good stuff, my man. Good stuff. Thanks for the call.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.